Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Brothers Dave and Phil Alvin join us today to talk about Big Bill Brunsey, the subject of their new tribute album, Common Ground. Often at odds with each other over the years, Brunsey is one subject the two have always agreed on. The Alvins formed the Blasters together in 1979 at the height of the L.A. punk scene, which included bands like X. The Blasters had a long history. Dave left the band. Phil folded it for a time while he went to grad school, and then Phil took over later Blasters reincarnations. But the two were not together for years until they reunited for a series of reunion shows in 2002. Now comes the new album, and I asked them why now was the time to work together. Dave Alvin.
Phil was very ill the past 2.5 years, and he died, actually, in Valencia, Spain, and was brought back to life by a Spanish woman doctor, Dr. Mariela.
Anais Cifuentes.
Dr. Mariela Anais Cifuentes. And at the same time that was going on, both he and I in the past few years have lost many close friends. And last year we lost our adopted brother, John Laverne, you know, suddenly out of the blue, you know, just a heart attack. And so then I started thinking, well, you know, maybe it's time for me and Phil to make a record together, and not necessarily a Blasters record, but a brother record, you know. And so that was kind of the impetus for me, was just go in the studio and do something before we both croak.
And Dave, you knew that Big Bill would tickle each of your fancies, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people that are common ground, a lot of musical artists, you know, Big Joe Turner, T-Bone Walker, Lydon Hopkins, you know, countless. But the thing about Big Bill Brunsey is I chose him for a couple of reasons. One is he was our initial guide into pre-war blues, and when I was about 12 or 11 and Phil was, you know, 14, he came home with an album called Big Bill's Blues, reissue of Big Bill Brunsey and the stuff that he cut in the late 30s, and that led us, of course, down the beautiful path to, you know, everyone from Leroy Carr to Georgia Tom Dorsey to Charlie Patton and Sunhouse. But the thing about Big Bill Brunsey, besides that, is the variety of styles that he recorded in. He had a 30-some-year-long recording career. And he did everything from, you know, country blues and ragtime guitar picking to early Chicago style blues, which he was one of the innovators of, to swing music, to jump blues, to later in life what some people call folk music. It's just the same music he always played, just on an acoustic guitar. And inside of that great body of work, he was also a great songwriter, so there were lots of songs to choose from and lots of ways to interpret it, you know, so that we just weren't doing note for note recreations of Big Bill Brunsey, because, you know, you can go get a Big Bill Brunsey record to do that. But I thought he was the artist where we could interpret things a variety of different ways.
Hmm. Hey, Phil, do you remember what attracted you to that Big Bill Brunsey album? Did you know anything about him at all?
I didn't know anything about him. What attracted me originally was the picture on the cover of it, which was just the slickest guy in the world. It said Big Bill's Blues, and I was into blues. And when I got it home and put it on, you know, it cut a pretty wide swath of blues and a lot of stuff that I hadn't heard before, including the small combo Chicago band. Kind of blues. And Big Bill's voice was so inviting, and he seemed like such a magnanimous figure.
He had a very gregarious voice, you know, very friendly and open. I think that's one of the reasons why he had such a long career, was he was a great singer, but the voice, it was the kind of voice that said, come on in, have a seat, it's your old pal Big Bill, you know, and I think that in the time when he was making records, I think a lot of people just thought of him as, you know, Big Bill, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, you know, down the street or down the, you know, in the next town.
Well, you are so right about the variety of music, and you seem to have nailed it on this record. So I'm just wondering which end of things you want to begin with.
I guess we'll do All by Myself.
Yeah.
This is like a
combination of two big build things. It's a combination of a song he wrote called All by Myself. But musically, it's we kind of grafted on the guitar playing from a big early Big Bill song called Long Tall Woman, and it kind of worked. So here we go.
Just around the world. When I get back, I'm gonna have diamonds and pearls all by myself.
All by myself.
Yeah, by myself.
All by myself.
I didn't have no one to help me, had to do it all by myself.
Locked up in jail, I'm with no hanging crime. But now I'm on the farm, boys, and I'm doing time all by myself.
All by myself.
All by myself.
Yeah, by myself.
I didn't need no one to help me. I can do it by myself.
I can take care of them, I don't need no help. And I'm by myself.
All by myself.
By myself.
All by myself.
I didn't have no one to help me, had to do it all by myself.
Cross-eyed Sue told Popeye Jim all of Uncle Sam's soldiers I could take care of them all by myself.
Yeah, by myself.
All by myself.
Yes, by myself.
I don't need no one to help me, I can do it by myself. I got you, son. What'd you bet?
And I'm by myself.
All by myself.
Yeah, by myself.
All by myself.
I didn't don't have need no one to help me. Had to do it all by myself.
Great to hear those voices singing together. It's Dave and Phil Alvin, a song from Common Ground, the songs of Big Bill Brunzi. And that's a bit of a bragging song called All By Myself. Hey, I was reading that when you guys went to Chicago, where Big Bill spent a lot of time, you got to see one of his guitars?
Play it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That was one of the highlights of our lives.
Wow. Yeah, well, how did that come about?
Well, it's at the there's a place in Chicago, a great institution called the Old Town School of Folk Music, and it's been around for years. John Prine, Steve Goodman all come out of there, and but the first guy that ever played a show there was Big Bill Brunzi, and so when he passed away in 1958, the guitar wound up at the Old Town School. And so Bob Reisman, who just in the past couple of years wrote a brilliant biography of Big Bill Brunzi, kind of met us down there and arranged for us to be able to play it. And to touch the fingerboard that Big Bill Brunzi touched, you know, it's a 46, 1946 Martin, what is it, orchestral model. And to touch the finger, you know, the fingerboard, but also to see it's a smaller scale guitar, so you can see how he did, you could just pick up kind of instantly, oh, that's how he did this because the scale is this certain size. But yeah, it was just, you know, the way I referred to it at the time was it was like holding Big Joe Turner's voice, but it's the same as it's like holding Billie Holiday's voice, or it's like holding Big Bill Brunzi's guitar.
Yeah, it was a great guitar, and he had personalized it by stamping his name on the inside. Apparently, it had been stolen one time, he got it back somehow, and so then he stamped it. With Big Bill Brunzi on the inside, and put a little watch crystal on the headstock that I think had a picture of him inside.
I don't know what he was. Bedazzling it, you know.
Yeah, he bedazzled it,
making that Martin a little swankier.
But yeah, what a great honor, and yeah, that's a great place in Chicago.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about some great places because that certainly is, you know, well known around the country, the old town. But you guys have always talked about the Ash Grove in your area and all the people you got to see there. But what an amazing thing to have kind of in the neighborhood, you know?
Well, it wasn't in the neighborhood. It was about 20 miles away.
Yeah, right. It was our amazing mother that would drive us there until we could drive.
And we finagled rides, and Phil has a certain charm to get people to do things. So, yeah, Phil did a lot of negotiating to get us up there.
Yeah, the first time that I remember going there, my mother drove me, and I think I was 12. And I went to see Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee because I was so impressed with Sonny Terry's harmonica playing. And when I went in, there was a gentleman there, and he could tell I was a young kid, and I was alone. My mother was sitting out in front, and
in the car.
Yeah. And you know, he asked me what I was doing. I said I came down to see Sonny Terry, and it was Big Joe Williams, the great guitar player, and he said he knew Sonny Terry, and he would introduce me to him, and he did that, and I asked Sonny Terry if he'd give me harmonica lessons, and he said he would, and he did. You know, for about 3 years, my mother would drive me to the Lido Hotel in Hollywood, made famous by Frank Zappa and the Willie and the... yeah, and the Ash Grove was a really great place that disseminated a great deal of blues, and there was a great record store there, run by two guys about our age, Mike Minkey and Jay Statman. And we got a lot of our records there and learned a lot about the blues and Cajun music and everything.
Yeah, it was a great place. You know, it was a place where you could actually go up and talk to, you know, immortals, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, you know, we went and saw Freddie King. This is before he was, quote unquote, rediscovered, you know. And so he was still doing his Chitlin Circuit show. And I had always been a guy that looked at who wrote the songs, you know, no matter what record I got, I always zeroed in on who wrote this. And he had a song that I really liked, and it was written by a guy named Billy Miles. And so I was educating myself. I was 13 or 14 years old, and it was like, who is this Billy Miles? So I went up to Freddie King, this little kid, and he's towering over me like a giant. And it was, you know, you could ask stupid questions like, Mr. King, Mr. King, Mr. King,
Billy Miles. Now, exactly who is he? Did he make records?
And he just kind of laughed and said he was a friend of mine, you know, and that was it. But you could talk to guys like that. And you know, certain people that we saw there became lifelong friends. Big Joe Turner, for one, was one of our, you know, main mentors throughout our life. And, you know, Phil was at a very early age. Well, Phil was born kind of, he came out of the womb shouting like Big Joe Turner.
That's true.
And anyway, it was a great place to see a variety of blues styles. One of the greatest shows I ever saw was the greatest double bill ever was the great gospel or spiritual, I should say, blues player Reverend Gary Davis on a co-bill with a young angry Johnny Guitar Watson, and Reverend Gary Davis was about 3 months away from his death. And he was on stage playing acoustic and being very spiritual and being philosophical about the world that awaits us beyond. And then he was followed by Johnny Guitar Watson, who had just been arrested that day. And he was playing electric and loud. And I sat there and it was like, okay, here are the two sides of the blues. You know, here is one acoustic, spiritual, transcendental, and on the other, loud, electric, and angry. And that was one of the greatest shows I ever saw.
That sounds incredible. We're talking with Dave and Phil Alvin about music where they were growing up in Southern California and about this new album of the songs of Big Bill Brunzi called Common Ground. And well, tell you what, there's a lot of songs on here where Big Bill kind of brags about his prowess, but there is there's one called How You Want It Done. I was wondering if you could do that one.
Sure, you got it.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me, loving mama, how you want your rolling done? Why don't you tell me, loving mama, how you want your rolling done? Well, I can give you satisfaction, baby, if it's all night long. Well, I got up this morning, mama, just about the break of day. Yes, I got up this morning, mama, just about the break of day. Well, I was thinking about my baby, Lord, the one that went away. Baby, Lord, and walk the sacred way. Yes, I could get religion, mama, Lord, and walk the sacred way. But with all these fine women, Lord, I ain't got time to pray. In the alley, my gal's name is Sally. You wake me up in the morning, mama, I still got that old habit. Why don't you tell me how you want it done? Well, I can give you satisfaction, baby, now if it's all night long. Tell me, loving mama, how you want your rolling done? Why don't you tell me, loving mama, how you want your rolling done?
Dave Alvin blazing through that one, and Phil Alvin singing the How Do You Want It Done. That is a Big Bill Brunsey tune from the album Dave Alvin and Phil Alvin, Common Ground. I love that line, with all these fine women, I ain't got time to pray.
Yeah, who does? Who does?
That's actually from Louis Lasky, who was the guy that sort of developed that style of picking.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was such a good couplet that that he had to put it in, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Great. Well, all right. What's the Big Bill's tunes is next?
Well, we're going to do the song that's maybe his most famous composition, and have my brother play some Jazz Gillum inspired harmonica, and we'll do a song called "Key to the Highway." 1, 2, 3, 4.
Walking is most too slow. I'm going back to the border, girl, where I'm better known. 'Cause you've never done nothing but drove a good man away from home. Now when the moon peeps over the mountain, yes, I'll be on my way. I'm gonna roam this highway till the break of day. Heavy load, 'cause I'm due in West Texas and I got to get on the road. I'm going back to West Texas. I'm going way behind the sun. I'm gonna ask the good Lord, what evil have I done? So give me one more kiss, mama. Yeah, before I go, 'cause when I leave this town, you know I won't be back.
There's a Big Bill Brunsey song everybody knows. That is "Key to the Highway," a really nice version from Dave and Phil Alvin, who are playing live today, and they got that new Common Ground album. Guys, a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts,
You can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.